Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
You're all very, very welcome back. Well, Michael Jordan's runners have sold at an auction for the princely sum of $2.2 million, making them the most expensive shoes ever sold in White from White's auction houses. With me in studio now, Ian, you are no stranger to the sale of celebrity memorabilia, mm-hmm. but over $2 million for a pair of runners?
Unfortunately, they didn't come through our auction. It would have been a lovely commission. We do sell a lot of, we sell a reasonable amount of celebrity memorabilia, but not in that league at all. Yeah. You know?
And look, I mean, this isn't for Michael Jordan. This isn't the most expensive items belong to him that have been sold.
He's reckoned to be the most valuable commodity in the celebrity field, but he sold a jersey last year. He didn't sell. Somebody sold a jersey last year for $10 million, $10.1 million
from the 1998 NBA finals. So, look, I mean, the demand for his stuff is absolutely off the scale.
Off the scale.
That $10 million, that he had previously something that came quite close to that, though, did he?
Over the years, I think figures of $2 million, $3 million have been cropping up regularly for him. Yeah. It's interesting to compare him, say, with somebody like O.J. Simpson, who should have been getting the same money, but for the famous trial and the
perhaps had he waited until after the trial, he may have even got.
Yeah, I mean, he had a sale recently to raise money to pay off. He has to pay compensation, and it only made about $300,000.
So, does this celebrity items? Does that then make them risky investments? Like, obviously, we live in an era of cancel culture, but if somebody falls off their pedestal, can that devalue quite quickly what they have on offer?
Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, going back to the O.J. Simpson thing, you may remember the Bronco Jeep that he drove.
That we all got to see. And
we were all watching it on television. Somebody managed to buy that afterwards for $75,000, which was a steal, I reckon. Yeah. I would think you'd easily get $1 million for that today, you know. Even things like Michael Jackson, who is maybe not as popular as he was.
His legacy may be contested.
A pair of his underpants.
please tell me, what did they go for?
$300,000, I believe.
Washed out.
They were actually came, the police they were part of the investigation into him. So, you know, it's weird the way people latch onto things.
So just on that then, why people latch onto things, is it the thrill of the hunt? To get it, is it?
Yeah, there is the thrill. There's the, as I say to people, when people go to auctions, there is an adrenaline rush in wanting to buy something that you really, really want, and they have an expression. I mean, mostly these auctions are taking place in America, and the Americans, if somebody comes to our auction, they buy something, they say they bid it or they bought it. In America, they say they won it. So it's more competitive there. I love that expression. I wish we use it a bit too. You know, did you win that? And it makes people feel better that they won something rather than they just bought it.
Do they have to go through details? Well, I'm sure as an auction house you do, but is there a lot of research into it? Like, I mean, how do you go
Yeah, provenance, as we call it. And the provenance is a bit like when you buy a house, you search the deeds. And you see that it really, you know, the person selling it is entitled to sell it, and it goes, you're entitled to your back gardens there all the time.
How would you get source the provenance of a pair of underpants?
These were subject to a police investigation, so there was a record somewhere of them. You know, we've had to. I mean, we sold a gun that belonged to Michael Collins, who was actually with him when he was killed. And it was retrieved by a lady in a village near Ovens in County Cork, and she retrieved it from the car and hid it. And it was in the family for many, many years, up to 2009, when one member of the family decided to sell it. And we had to track back, who's the lady who got it? Who did she leave it to? And there was a trail, a paper trail. A lot of it was word of mouth. And we were very happy with that it was definitely his gun, that it was on his person when he was killed, etc. But we still made them sign an affidavit and swore that it was right, because, you know, it fetched about 90,000 euros. So, you know, we have to kind of guarantee the genuineness and the authenticity of what we sell. So
what is behind the interest? Is it for personal collections? Are people buying them as gifts? Is it status?
It's all of that. Status with these big items, it's paying out millions of dollars, it's status. It's something to show off. And there's a competitive aspect to it. The fact that that went for, the trainers went for 2 million or the shirt went for 10 million. Obviously, there were two or three bidders on it and they're all fighting each other. And I want that before he gets it or she gets it or whatever. So there is that competitive attitude. I mean, I remember I used to see it. You see it sometimes in the art world as well, where billionaires are going and they want the, you know, the biggest Picasso, and they don't mind paying over $100 million for it. And so it is a competitive thing or at that level. At the lower level, it's a bit more fun, and it's a bit more where people are collecting things that actually interest them. You know, whether it's U2's drawing by Bono or something like that, because they're into U2's music and they'd like to have something to hang on the wall, or an autographed item.
Well, what kind of stuff can you tell us? What kind of sort of celebrity stuff that is
around
in Ireland, auction?
Yeah, there's quite a lot. I mean, obviously, well, U2 is one of the biggest, and we sold a guitar that it was actually Edge's first guitar, and it was a cheap acoustic guitar. His mother bought it at a car boot sale for about €20 or £20 it was then. Funny, well, she gave it away as a present to her neighbour, who was taking me, because when Edge had left to go out in his career, she gave it to a neighbour who was taking up Spanish guitar lessons, and so she sold it to her, actually, I think, for maybe the same money she paid, £20 or whatever, and eventually came to auction with us and fetched €21,000 euros, and it's now in the collection actually in America.
Yeah, so it is kind of, and like, I mean, when you look even across to the US, like, I mean, who are, apart from sports, who are the big kind of music or entertainment kind of people that attract big bucks?
People, like, say, for instance, today it'd be Taylor Swift, you know, whereas
can't even get a ticket.
yeah, things like that. It would have been Madonna before, though Madonna's still very, very popular. Any of the rock stars are popular. The thing is, though, as things get older, as people get, you know, as time goes on, the prices go down. So you might have got more money for, say, Bing Crosby years ago, but, you know, a lot of the people alive today don't even know who he was, you know. So,
and do you ever get asked to random or to auction off random items, or, you know, because I suppose value, like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's we get some unusual things. I mean, even animals can be famous. We sold a medal, actually, called a Dickon medal, that was awarded to a pigeon. And this is a medal that some organisation in Britain decided to put a medal for bravery for animals. And this was a pigeon that, who was actually an Irish pigeon, he was from County Down, and he was taken on board by the British Army.
And the pigeon got the medal.
And the pigeon got the medal because he was used to bring news of the invasion in 1944 back to England, and he flew hundreds of miles with the little message to tell them, because they couldn't use radio. The Germans were listening to them, so they were using pigeons instead of...
I'm a Newry girl. I'm dying to find out about this County Down pigeon. Arkell's X-rays.
Yes, we sold those too, yeah.
Explain for those
old Arkell
who don't know who Arkell is.
Arkell was a famous racehorse. It was a long time ago. It was 1967, nearly 60 years ago.
And why were people interested in his X-rays?
Well, he was the greatest racehorse at the time. Shergar was another one you would have heard of, who was kidnapped by the IRA. But Arkell had a bad injury in 1967, and that was the end of his career as a racehorse.
Somebody saw value in the X-rays.
Well, we were given these extras, didn't know really. We had no idea what we'd get for them, but eventually we put them up for auction, and they fetched €1,500 from somebody who was interested.
I have images of an X-ray being up in somebody's house.
Yeah.
And if not,
they'd have to put them in a light box or something, you know, and you could see the bone fracture and all that. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure where it ended up. I was hoping it might end up, there is a, there is the Equestrian Museum down in Kildare, so maybe
it could end up there.
Yeah.
You have an auction coming up, is it, in May?
Like, yes.
Is there anything interesting in there people might want to be
bidding
on?
Yeah, we've a few things. We've a jacket that Liam Neeson wore in a play in the Olympia Theatre back in 1981.
What was the play?
The play was The Hostage.
Okay.
And it was donated by Burke's. Burke's were closed since, but they were a costumier. They used to supply all the theatres and films and that. And so they've got a little tag with his name on it and the name of the play. And actually, Liam Neeson himself confirmed that it was his. And not only that, but he signed the programme for the play and a poster. And it's been donated to the Hospice Foundation. So that's going up for sale in May. We've got a jacket belonging to Phil Lynott. I think I pronounced that right.
I can see that.
We've a Bible that Michael Collins had on him when he was killed. It's a British government Bible. But what he liked about it was a pocket sized Bible, and it was just when he worked at the British Civil Service in the Post Office Savings Bank before the war, and everybody in the British Civil Service got a copy of this King James Bible. You know, so he was. When he was killed, he was carrying around a Protestant Bible issued by the British government.
There are great backstories to a lot of these items. Now, did you really have a hair from Napoleon's head?
We did. We did indeed. It was an interesting story. It's quite a long story, but short to keep it short and cheerful, it turned up in New Zealand, this lock of hair, and they could prove the provenance, as I say, all the way back to St. Helena, where he died. And a warder there, somebody snipped a lock. It was somebody who was told he had to shave his head because they were going to make a death mask of him. And anyway, this chap kept a lock of the hair, and it ended up in New Zealand. And a number of years ago, went up for auction down there, fetched about $25,000. And a very enterprising dealer bought it because he could see he could snip it into tiny particles. Oh. And he made hundreds of these things in little frame and said guaranteed that they were from Napoleon's hair. So it's only fetched 150, 160 euro, I think. But if you worked it out, I think he made about $100,000.
My sister caught the towel at a Bros concert years ago. We all got little strands of the towel, but I don't think we'll be going. Anyway, can I just ask you just before? We kind of go is because you mentioned the art world. So is there a trend towards memorabilia away from like antiques or fine art, or do these things come and go in cycles?
I think memorabilia has kind of grown a lot in the last 20, 30 years, certainly. And I think it will continue. It's, you know, not everybody's into art or antiques, but there is this collecting gene in some people, and they like the idea of it. And also it's an interesting thing to have in your house, as well as having a painting and a nice sideboard or whatever, to have something unusual. What was they used to call it? A talking point, you know?
Yeah, conversation starter.
Conversation piece.
Arkell's X-ray.
Yeah.
You Napoleon's
know, you have somebody
hair.
Around to dinner and say, oh, what's that? You know, it's a piece of President Kennedy. We have a piece of President Kennedy's car.
A piece of the car,
but it's tiny. It's almost like the hair of Napoleon.
It's kind of the relics when you go around, these tiny little things,
exactly.
Pieces
that's
of cloth.
That's what they are. They're just like relics of saints. Yeah. I mean, we've had a few of those over the years as well, but the it's a tiny, like a pinhead, and it's a piece of the upholstery of the car in which he was assassinated. And it was because they did forensics on the car, and this man was a forensics worker in the FBI or whatever. And he eventually was given a piece of the upholstery and did exactly the same thing, made little pieces of them. They'd fetch a few hundred euro.
Before I let you go, if money was no object, what would be the one item of memorabilia that you'd like to have?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm an auctioneer. I always say to people, I can't collect, really, though I do secretly. But you know, it's like being gamekeeper and poacher at the same time. What would I like? God, you stumped me there. I don't know. I'd be a fan of maybe some of the early rock bands, you know, the rock bands like the Rolling Stones or something like that. But I do have a programme from their Dublin concert signed by them. So I suppose that's my treasure.
But as the chairman of White's Auction House, you cannot be getting involved in that. Ian White, thanks a million for coming in to us today. And I think it's May that auction is going up. But thanks very, very much. And we'll take a quick break.